All right. A very significant event is going to happen on December 21st, which is this Friday. It's actually tomorrow. And, you know, a lot of people are hyping this. Media outlets are going kind of crazy. People are taking it very seriously. Some, you know, say that it's the end of the world. The Mayans predicted it's the end of the world. It's the end of the Mayan calendar, but it will not end the world. However, it is a significant event. And James Papp, who's going to join us, he is the author of Inquire Within, A Guide to Living in Spirit. You can check out inquirewithin.com. But he has written a piece explaining the Mayan calendar. And I love what it says, information made easy for the everyday earthling to understand. So we just want to get some background here on exactly, you know, what the deal was with the Mayan calendar. Who were the Mayans and why do we care? And what is the significance of actually what will happen on Friday? And we welcome James to the show. James, how are you, sir?
Hey, I'm very well, Nick. How you doing?
I'm good. So give me your background, James. When did you discover the world of the Mayans?
Well, I discovered the world of the Mayans around about 1987 when I started a seven-year-long art project in Seattle with a group called the Dharmic Engineers. We did a collaborative art piece which wove in some symbols from that culture, and I became entranced and had to learn everything I could about them, which culminated in trips to Mexico. On the day that I came back from my first trip to Palenque, which is in southern Chiapas, Mexico, I met a Mayan spiritual teacher at our opening day of this art installation that took 7 years to make. I had come back from Palenque the day before. She was leaving the next day to go there, and that was the beginning of a period of study that I have had off and on over a period of many years.
Yeah, and explain, if you can give us the sort of a Cliff's Note version on that world, on the Mayan world, what makes it so fascinating? Why have you studied it since 1987?
Well, I sat next to an anthropology professor at UCLA during a Mayan conference who told me that one of the fascinating things about that part of the world for the professional community is that so very little is known about it and great mysteries will always endure. Therefore, there was much to explore and debate about. For me, the path that I took with meeting Mary, the Mayan teacher, in 1997, which led me to spend many trips there, resulted in an immersion in that way of life that actually has very deep roots, as many of our indigenous lines do. And their way of looking at the world where humans live in harmony with each other and with nature, of course, we have to kill animals to live and live off the land, but we do it with gratitude and with respect. Mm-hmm. There seemed to be a certain resonance with this that really struck a chord in me. And there are 4 million Mayan people alive today living in various countries in Central America and Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, Belize, and so forth. And while they're not living in those big cities that they made back several thousand years ago, there are many of them there still practicing the old customs, and they're sharing their teachings at this time that they consider we're at a bit of a crossroads here on planet Earth culturally.
And what is the significance of the end of the Mayan calendar? People hear about that. You know, obviously it's been in the media now, especially approaching because tomorrow is the day.
Yes.
What does the end of the Mayan calendar actually mean?
Well, I think that's the biggest misnomer here, is that there is actually not an end of the Mayan calendar. There is the end of a long 5,000-plus-year calendar cycle, which the Mayans call the fourth sun, which began in approximately 3,114 B.C. And then on the 21st of December, we finish that great long cycle, and we enter a new 5,000-plus-year period called the fifth sun. And life does continue. The two suns, or the two ages, if you will, have different qualities. Mm-hmm. The age that we've been in for this long period of time has been governed by male energy, whereas the period that we're entering into is going to be governed by a balance of male and female energies, and the conditions are supposed to be more conducive to us being able to return to a more harmonious way of living with each other and with the planet that sustains us. Despite the fact we have many challenges we're being asked to meet at this time.
So how did this thing get wrapped up into the end of the world? How did that, James, how did that happen? How did, you know, I mean, if this is just a, it's just going to be, I mean, you, obviously, you know, this is a significant day tomorrow, no question about it, and especially spiritually and in terms of energy and in terms of what's going on, in, you know, astrologically. But how did this all get wrapped up into, oh, my God, it's the end of the world, you know?
Boy, that's a pretty deep question, and I can't say what all the answers would be, but we certainly have a thing about potential endings here, at least in the West. We had Y2K. That was a big deal.
Yep.
And we had something called the Rapture not too long ago.
Right, right.
And there have been other events which have been perceived by a fairly large number of people to be upcoming pivotal events in the destiny of humanity, which have all pretty much moved by. And the Mayan elders would tell us that we have a lot of anxiety and fear, which is rooted in the fact that we're not living harmoniously with each other in the earth, and that we're preoccupied with fear and violence. And that was something that Elder Hunbat's men, a Mayan ceremonial leader and shaman in the Yucatan, told my wife Lisa and me at one time when we were speaking, that you Westerners are preoccupied with danger and disaster. And it's as if we like a good horror movie. So we do have these apocalyptic tendencies, and actually it's good to touch on the word apocalypse because it has come up quite a bit lately. It certainly in our vernacular jargon these days seems to refer to the ultimate bad thing happening in the end of the world. But when we actually go back and look, Nick, at the root of the word, it's a Greek word that came from the Greek apocalypsis, and it refers to the revelation of something hidden or to the unveiling of new or unseen ideas.
Mm.
And even in the religious context, which is not an area that I practice in, but I have looked at, it seems to refer to an ultimate victory of good over evil, which is a very different notion than what we're experiencing.
And, it's amazing to me that what you're telling me and what I've read that you have written is that what's happening, what's going to happen tomorrow, it should be taken as a very positive thing. We are entering a new phase. And this should be something that's celebratory, not to be frightened of. People should be looking forward to this. Correct?
Yes, that's absolutely correct. And as I had mentioned earlier in our conversation, I talked about this long 5,000-plus year cycle called the fourth sun, and
right.
We're entering into the fifth sun, which is going to be governed by these male and female energies. And it has to do with a return to the natural order. That would be a phrase that the Mayan elders would use today, a restoration of harmony. And we're seeing various things happening in our world, even if they may be carried out with a little bit of uncoordination, are still symptomatic of that return to harmony in a sense. We had the Occupy movement, which was an issue about fairness at some level.
Yeah.
We have Arab Spring. We have marriage equality. We've got people who want to simply have what's in their food labeled. There's a lot of things that are happening that can easily be politicized, for lack of a better word, that I think are symptoms of a natural deep desire within human beings for fairness and equality.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. Now, have you talked to people, James, about have you spoken with people who are convinced that the world is going to end on Friday?
Well, I personally don't know anybody in my circle of friends that feels that way, but I have received, because of my internet article that was published in 1998, which has had over 500,000 views now, I've received quite a few emails and even a few phone calls over the years from people who are very concerned. And one of the most touching to me was a woman from the Midwest who emailed me, whose elementary school daughters had come home that day in tears because the world was going to end. They had heard about the Mayan calendar, and they heard that the world was going to end. And this woman was searching on the internet, this mother, and finding, looking for resources, and she contacted me, and, you know, what do I tell my children? And so, however these fears come about, they're deeply affecting some of us, and it's a very, very real, challenging thing that they're having to go through. And so part of the spreading of the message that the Mayans have for us today is to, first of all, to quell those fears, but also to ask people to take some action to help imagine a better world, the world that in our heart of hearts we know is possible.